Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress. I'm Corey.
I'm Jordan.
And we're the Welches. Welcome back, episode number 5, Maternity Leave. This episode, we're going to talk about the early newborn stage, the kind of the period where Jordan was on maternity leave. We were starting to adapt to this new little human in our life, having to do things that we liked and we necessarily didn't like. So let's get into it, Jordan.
Let's do it.
So first things first. The body obviously changes a lot after pregnancy, even after that first day that we talked about. After you get out of the hospital, once you get home, there's still a lot of change to get, not everything, but some things back the way that they were before. So it is a long process.
Yes. So like your body changes during pregnancy. Obviously, it changes after you have the child. And then there's kind of the postpartum stage too. So this is, you know, early postpartum as well that we're talking about. There were some things that I was kind of nervous about. Do you know what I told you I was most scared of when we got home?
Oh, I know, but I'm going to let you tell the audience.
Okay. Well, as I had mentioned previously, I did have a tear and I was scared of that first bowel movement. And I feel like I've learned about this from various friends, Facebook and online and stuff like that, that it's not fun. And so I was worried and I was nervous. And the nurse after I had Carly had said, here's some stool softeners, take these and drink your water. Okay. So I made sure that they gave me some at the hospital. And then I had purchased some afterwards, and I took those like candy. You know, I took them as much as we could because I was afraid. But lo and behold, I'm not going to get anything into anything gross. It was fine. Drink your water. Take your stool softeners. Take deep breaths. You're fine. So yeah, that was that. I was happy to have that over with. But one thing I realized, it was probably two mornings after having her, and you wake up and your body is just so sore, and you don't realize how much muscles and effort and everything that's being used in your body. When you have an epidural and you can't feel it, there's a lot of muscles being used to deliver a baby, and then you get the soreness afterwards. So, you know, I had some medication that the doctor had prescribed me, and the hospital gave me items to help with healing as well and to help with some of that pain, like some witch hazel pads, lidocaine spray, a Perry bottle, and some large pads. Those did help. I also had purchased always disposable underwear before I had her and herbal postpartum pads. Now I did make padsicles. Do you remember me making padsicles in the kitchen before we had her?
Yes. I think I questioned what the heck those were, how they were going to work, and what TikTok, Facebook, Instagram video did you watch, and how is that? I really didn't question a whole lot of them. It's like, whatever, if you use them, sure. If you didn't, I didn't spend the time making them. That was a you deal.
Yeah. So I had heard about them with witch hazel and aloe vera, and I made them, kept them in the freezer. But to be honest with you, I wasn't a super big fan of them. I did prefer the herbal ones that had just a little bit of cooling and not the super ice cold frozen padsicles. So I definitely didn't use all of those. But if that's something that you like and you think would help you with your healing, go for it and do it. Those are kind of the prep things that I did and some of the things that the hospital had given me to help with that early postpartum, my body healing stages.
Yeah, I remember probably the first week, anytime you went to the bathroom, it was going to be 20 minutes.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, just getting, you know, like a shower. I bet you had almost a half an hour between taking the pads off and all that stuff and then having to put all of that back on. I just remember it taking a long time, which wasn't a big deal because not like Carly went anywhere. It's not like she was hungry or anything. She was just sleeping, just chill. You know, you usually did it like right after you fed her or something like that to where, you know, it wasn't one of her wake times. You'd sneak away for, I'd say it took you about an hour to do a shower. And that's not just like a normal shower that normally takes you an hour where you just sit there in the hot water and the whole thing's steaming. Mm-hmm. But just trying to be able to shower and that sort of stuff. I do remember that part.
Yeah, I know that I needed to drink a lot of water postpartum as well. And when going to the bathroom takes so long, just the process, it's not something that I enjoyed. Like, oh, I know I need to drink water, but then I'm going to have to go to the bathroom more, and that's just going to take up more time. It just wasn't super enjoyable. Not that it really is enjoyable in the first place. Like, but yeah, it was just another thing I wasn't prepared for, how long it would take to take care of myself on top of taking care of
newborn. It's just something you don't think about. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't... It's like the blind leading the blind almost. You know, you're going to go have a baby, but you really don't think of the stuff afterwards. We knew that you had to take it easy. You know, I mean, you knew you had to take it easy. You just went through a big ordeal, but you don't realize what all necessarily goes into that, the specifics of it.
Yeah. And you think about, oh yeah, we had a baby. You come home. It's just everything is revolving around taking care of the baby. But you have to take care of yourself as well. And that piece we weren't as aware of. So just knowing that you have to take care of yourself in order for you to be able to take care of your baby. So do what you need to do. Rest, drink water. I know everyone says, oh, just nap when the baby's napping. That's not always the case. But just do your best to take care of yourself as well.
Exactly. Now, how much time did you take off, Jordan?
I had 9 weeks total. That was including spring break. So I used 8 weeks of sick leave and I had 9 weeks, an extra week I didn't have to use leave for was spring break. So I had 9 weeks total.
Was there, what was the reasons of only 9 weeks? Some take more, some take less. I remember my mom, she only took a couple weeks. So what was kind of your factors deciding that?
I feel like everything used to be 6 weeks. And you know what? If that's all you can take, that's fine. That's kind of the stages to get cleared by the doctor. More and more people have kind of been taking 8 weeks or so. 12 weeks is it is a lot. And if your company allows you 12 weeks, go for it. Take it. I had to use out of my own personal sick time. I didn't get any sort of maternity leave. I had to have short-term disability and then use my sick time. So I didn't want to take 12 weeks knowing that, okay, next school year, I still have to have sick leave for all my daughter's doctor's appointments. And when she's sick and has a fever or if daycare is closed, I'm just trying to think of how much time I need to save some time. I also came back and I had 6 weeks left of school. And I like the end of the year, so it's not like I wanted to be gone through the rest of the school year. So 8 weeks and then the extra week with spring break was a good amount of time. I think I was kind of ready to get back into a different routine, but definitely didn't want to leave my baby. So I don't feel like any length of time is ever enough.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, I only took a week off, which once again, I didn't get any sort of paternity leave with my company. So all that was PTO. We don't have sick time. We just have personal time off. But I ended up taking a week, and that week went by pretty quick, which you're pretty busy. That first week you get home, everybody's showing up. They want to see her. We'll get into some other stuff of, you know, kind of the little village and the visitor side of that. A lot of that happens within those first 2 weeks usually. So it flew by. But I guess my advice is take the max that you can. It is something that maybe will only happen once in your life. You don't know. Depends on how many kids you want or get, you know, whether you're struggling, all sorts of that stuff. But it only happens a few times in your life. So definitely make the most of it because so much also changes within the first year. I mean, she's a year and a half now. And within that first year, stuff changes weekly. So, like I said, I would take the most if I had that chance.
Well, and I agree. Take the time and use that time to not only bond with your baby, but also to help support your wife or your partner, your baby mama, because there's a lot of things that they're going through and they need your support as well on top of the baby. So yeah, take the time that you are, as much time as you are able to take. So along with that, when I said supporting the baby mama, obviously there's newborn needs. There's feeding, diaper change, clothes change, bath, sleep, all sorts of things with the baby. But there's a lot of emotions too. I know we talked about, hit on a little bit how there's a big hormone crash. You just had a baby and all those hormones that you had building up in your body are slowly going and quickly at the same time going away. So you're trying to adjust to a new schedule. You're trying to adjust to your baby schedule, feeding every couple hours, trying to get some sleep when you can. There's a lot of new responsibilities. I mean, you have a child that you are responsible for 18 years. Like, that's a big task. So I think that that first little bit is a blur. Just you're living your day-to-day life without really a care of what else is going on in the world.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're trying to figure this whole deal out of how does it work? You're trying to get the schedules down. You're trying to, you know, keep the house presentable. You know, you want to keep it clean because you got people coming in. You know, husband, all of a sudden he goes off to work and now it's just you. And so he's trying to help you when he can. But yet, you know, the weekends, you kind of want to spend, you know, time with the kid and that sort of stuff. So it is a lot of stuff. And you didn't have a ginormous, you know, I would say it wouldn't be, well, not ginormous, probably not the right word. You didn't have a terrible crash. I don't think it wasn't a, I'm looking for the word for it, but it wasn't a bad crash. It wasn't just bawling every day just for no reason. It wasn't that bad.
No,
it didn't seem like.
I wouldn't think so. One piece of advice that one of my friends had given me is that she said, Jordan, the baby blues are normal. It's okay. If it doesn't get better after a couple weeks, talk to your doctor. And I specifically remember when that kind of crash had hit me. It was Super Bowl Sunday. We were at my sister's house and it was the day before you were going back to work. So that was Super Bowl Sunday. You were going back to work Monday. And we were leaving the Super Bowl party at like halftime or so, going back home. And I just start crying in the back of the car because I knew you were going to be leaving. It's scary. You know, all of a sudden you're going to be at home with a baby all by yourself for an entire work day. And what do I do? What if I need help? What am I supposed to, you know, there's a lot of questions that there, the anxiety of you leaving along with the hormones, like just kind of hit me. And so I remember crying on there on the way back and we sat and watched the rest of the football game on the couch, and just having you by my side helped. Like when you went back to work and when you would come home, like as the mother, you need that support from your rock, and just having you sit next to me on the couch or just talk to me about my day or about your day or anything like that just gave that support of like, it's okay. Like you're here, and just soaking up that time that you were here. And then I had anxiety going back, like then at night, knowing that in the morning you're going to be going to work again. And that lasted maybe a week, not too long. Thankfully it wasn't terrible by any means, but you're just adjusting to your new life. And I rely on you a lot for a lot of things. And when you're gone, it was hard to try to figure out our new life, our new schedule and routine, especially being home from work too. That was weird.
Yes, it is an emotions roller coaster, I guess, emotional roller coaster. But really, what was life at home when I wasn't here? I mean, you did call me every now and then, and you had to talk about stuff, which was fine. You know, you take a 15-minute phone call and answer, and you know that way you're around somebody because you know and. After those first couple of weeks, nobody came, you know, it was just you and the baby. And I'm sure it did get a little lonely, but What did your maternity days kind of consist of?
Yeah. So it took a little bit of time to adjust to not being at work. It was weird to not have to wake up at my certain time and get ready and go to work because that's what we do. I wouldn't say I got to sleep in because on our daughter's feeding schedule, she would eat, you know, about every 2 hours, eat about 5 in the morning, go back to sleep, eat at 7, go back to sleep. I remember at that 7 o'clock feeding when she would go back to sleep, I would sleep in a little bit as much as I could. And then I would wake up, I'd shower and I'd get ready for the day. And I will put this little tidbit out there for everyone. It really helps your mental health. It helps you just to shower and do your hair. And if you wear makeup, wear makeup. If you don't, that's fine. I wouldn't say put on real clothes isn't the correct term because they were real clothes. They were just very comfy, like sweats and sweatshirt. But I didn't stay in my pajamas all day. I didn't wash my hair every day either, but I still showered daily and put on makeup. And just that little bit of time, that 20, 30 minutes that I got to myself when our daughter was sleeping in the bassinet just helped kind of have a refresh for the day. It gave you something to get up and, okay, I need to do this and this and this, and then we can go get on with our day. After I did that, you know, obviously there was a lot of snuggles going on and trying to soak up that time. There's the feeding piece of it and the changing the diapers and the laundry and all of those things that you're trying to keep up with. The other parts that I didn't really wasn't aware of was like getting a social security card for her. So the process of doing that, going through our insurance and trying to get my short-term disability activated. And I can't remember if there were hospital bills and adding her to our insurance and all of these things that you need to get done. And you're trying to get them done in when she's sleeping in between. I'm trying to think of the rest of our day. I mean, there's days where I felt like I didn't do anything. And I had to tell myself all I did was take care of my baby, then that is enough.
Yeah, I remember you. I remember coming home several times where you come home and you're like, this house is a mess. I couldn't get anything done today. I couldn't get anything done. I mean, and I didn't ask why. I didn't say, well, what the heck you been doing all day? I joked with you every now and then with it. But yeah, I knew you're busy. I knew you're doing stuff. I mean, you're just no different than when I'm at work. You're working on the baby, working on the home. You know, so.
And there were times where I felt like I had to keep up the house to make, since I felt guilty, like, oh, I'm home all day long. I need to make sure that supper's ready and I need to make sure that the laundry's all done and put away and the bathrooms are cleaned and the living room's cleaned up. And I needed to be a little bit easier on myself and just say, it's okay. You'll get those things done. But I feel like I had to kind of do it to make you think that I was doing something, even though I know you weren't judging me if something didn't get done.
Well, every day I left, you were in the bed, and every day I got home, you were on the couch. So yeah. What were you doing? But no, and just from the dad side of the whole maternity leave, yeah, we don't get to stay home. At least I didn't get to stay home as much as you. Some lucky dads out there, their companies let them stay home quite a bit. But that was not the case for me. So I stayed that first week, kind of got you up off your feet. And then that next Monday I was going back to work. It was a little odd. You know, I would call you, I'd check in on you. Definitely still wanted to be around Carly for the most part. Just cause you know, she's new, she's super tiny and you know, I'm a pretty sober guy when it comes to stuff. I realize, you know, how special it is and how much it is worth to soak that up while you're in the moment, then regret it, you know, for all the rest of your life, seems like. The biggest thing I would say is when you're going back to that hormone crash for dads is to just check in on your ladies. Check in on them and make sure they are doing well. Make sure, you know, we've had friends and family tell us that, you know, they had really bad depression. They had some real issues. They had suicidal thoughts. They had all sorts of scary stuff like that. Sometimes, you know, as the mom, definitely tell the guy that, whether he's your husband, whatever it is, tell the guy that and guys listen and pay attention to that. Look for some signs of that a little bit. Because they're going through a whole lot. They really are. And it's nothing that they can really prevent a whole lot either. So, you know, whether you need to go check it out at a doctor or whatever, I mean, be the guy to help guide them through that. Be that rock for them. Because you can't be there every day like they were. So be there when you're there sounds stupid, but be there when you are there.
No, that's true. There are times where when you would get home and you'd be on the phone with work and I'm like, oh, like, I just need to talk to you. I just need to talk to an adult for a little bit. I love my baby and I loved having that time with her, but just to have an adult conversation is nice. So yes, I agree with what you're saying. When you're home, try to be as present as you can. Like you had said with some of our friends and that had more struggles with postpartum depression. I remember talking to you before we had her about, hey, I have a friend that's kind of going through some struggles right now. And I really think that was good for both of us to talk through it because I've never struggled with any sort of depression. I wanted to be aware that having a baby changes some things. And I wanted to make you aware, like, hey, if I'm telling you I'm not okay, I want you to believe me and go to the doctor and know that you have your husband to support, have that support with as well. And definitely talk to the doctor and the pediatrician about anything that you have going on.
Yeah. And I would, one last thing to not hit on this again, but if you don't have a guy in your life, tell your dad, tell your mom, tell your best friend.
Tell a doctor, a support group online.
Yes. I mean, just get it out there. Don't bundle that up because nothing's going to become good of that. So on maternity leave, one of the nice parts I enjoyed, and I know you enjoyed as well, Jordan, but one of the nice things I did like is, you know, we had friends and family come over and they brought food.
It was wonderful.
It was a really good gesture. If you have some friends that are pregnant and, you know, they are having that baby, definitely just make them a meal. Go take it to them. You don't even have to, you know, if they're busy, you don't even have to talk to them. Just if you'd sit on their doorstep and say, ding dong, ditch them, run away, whatever it is you want to do, it does help out. It's just one less thing that couple has to deal with throughout that day while they're trying to reorganize their life, basically.
Absolutely. And being home, you need to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You need to be nourishing your body, especially if you are breastfeeding. You need to make sure that you're eating and you're drinking as well. So one of my cousins had brought a huge pan of food from the local Mexican restaurant, and that was amazing. Like, when next time we have a kid, I'm about to go order that myself if no one brings it, because I ate that for lunch for a few days and we had it for supper and it just hit the spot. And it was so nice to have food there and ready that you didn't have to worry about what am I going to have for supper. And I did prep a little bit. I had browned several pounds of hamburger. I had made taco meat, sloppy joe meat. I had tater tot casserole. You know, I prepped a little bit, but that's one less thing that you have to think about when you have those people bringing you things.
Yeah, it was really nice. I enjoyed it. There was a lot of good food there as well. But from a visitor's aspect, you know, you're going to get grandma, grandpa, best friends, close friends, extended family. There's everybody's going to want to meet her, especially if they live in a close proximity to you. You know, if you're kind of out there away from your family, probably not as much, but for us, we're pretty centrally located around both sides of the family here. So it was really nice. To me, it was exciting watching everybody hold her, meet her, see the little changes in her, see her little quirks. Just kind of, you know, she got all the attention for the most part. You know, they still asked, you know, about Jordan and how she's getting along, stuff like that. But visitors were more welcome in our aspect. Now, there were some times I do remember where, you know, not to name names, but somebody'd come over and it's like, oh man, like, you're going to be over in 5 minutes. Like, seriously. But looking back, I still wouldn't have changed what we did. It was fine. The house was kind of a wreck. We'd pick up real fast and it wasn't bad. We wanted our family to see him. I think it was very important and precious to a point.
Absolutely. I agree with your saying, like, oh my gosh, they're going to be here in 5 minutes. This house is a mess. And I think that's more like on us. They weren't caring what our house looked like. They knew we're in early postpartum stages and we have a newborn. I also thought that having the visitors during the day kind of helped break up my time at home. And so when I was at home, you know, between taking care of our daughter, I tried to stay busy. So I remember a specific time where I purposely didn't do laundry on the weekends, which I always do. I saved it for Monday because it would give me something to do. And it would give me something to sit and watch TV and fold the laundry while she's sleeping. Because at this point, she sleeps for like 2 hours at a time during the day. There's only so many TV episodes I can watch and only so many things that you could read and do. So I tried to stay busy by going to town randomly. I would go and visit my parents. They both eat their lunch at their house during their lunch break. So I would go down there, see them, see my sister and our friends. I would go once a week, but I took our baby and we went to go to the local coffee shop to get a coffee and a scone. Just to get out, we drove around town for a little bit. You took me shopping one weekend. I know that you had been busy traveling a lot that week, but I just needed to get out of the 30-mile radius from where we live.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting. So we, you know, if you haven't listened to the previous episodes, please go back and do. But we had a winter baby. We had her in early February, so it was still winter yet. And it's not like it was summer where it seemed like you had more stuff to do. We were kind of cooped up. And you know, as you talk about staying busy, I don't know what your thoughts are. My thoughts, I think that does help combat those different thoughts and that depression cycle that some people can get in. It just takes your mind off of it. It's more like a going back to work type deal. It's more of a job.
Yeah. There were times where I wouldn't say I was sad or anything, but when she's sleeping for a while and I don't really have anything to do, just getting up and washing a dish, getting up, go clean the bathroom really quick. It doesn't matter if you cleaned it 3 days ago, go clean it again. Just getting up and doing that kind of brought a little bit of life back into you and like, oh, okay, I feel a little bit more accomplished. I feel like something's put together a little bit. So yeah, we went on walks when it was nice enough, but she's still so little, I needed to keep her warm. But it wasn't too bad for having a winter baby. I did open up a lot of the windows to let some sunshine in, but we made it through. We drove around town a few times.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, so next, kind of towards the end of the maternity leave, starting to get closer and closer to that date to go back to work, what things did you do to help prep you to kind of go back to work and make sure things weren't going to fall apart?
Yeah, so my daycare was in the town that I worked in. So I knew what time, before I had a baby, what time I had to wake up and get ready and leave. Now I had to prepare for, okay, how long does it take me to get her ready? She also needs to nurse in the morning before she goes to daycare. And how long does that take? So I would kind of take a mental note of about how long it takes to get ready, her ready in the morning. I know how long it takes me, and practice that schedule. Like I remember one day I purposely was like, okay, I'm not going to fall back asleep after she has that feeding. I'm going to pretend like I just fed her and I got to get ready for the day. So that helped me just get a vibe of what I needed to get done. And I tried to do some research on what pumping items I needed so I could pump at work. And there was one more thing that I did before I went back to work. Oh, this is a big one. Don't go back on a Monday. I had planned on doing that. And then thankfully I used the excuse of my daughter had her, I think it was 8-week checkup. So she had an 8-week checkup that had to get scheduled on that Monday. It didn't work. So I was like, oh, well, sorry, I'm going back on Tuesday. Definitely don't go back on a Monday. It is an adjustment to go back and you're leaving your whole life, your whole heart with someone else while you just spent the past how many weeks 24/7 with them. So going back, I probably wouldn't even do a Tuesday. For me, I'd probably do like a Wednesday or Thursday. Kind of get your feet wet a little bit and know that, okay, I only have a couple of days and then I have the weekend. So that's my advice to you all, is to just don't make it on a Monday. Try to set yourself up for success. Know that it's hard and it does get easier. One of my coworkers told me, she's like, Jordan, it's okay. It gets easier. I know it's hard right now, but each day, each drop off at daycare does get easier. And right now, like, she's at the stage where she loves daycare. So that's a whole nother topic for another episode. But
Yeah, and that is good advice. I never really thought of it that way. I can't remember when you started, but it makes sense of, you know, get your feet wet. Because the other thing is, you're going to be tired, which you were, because you took the breastfeeding route. So it was different. It took a toll on you at the same time where you deal with kids every day, having to pump and all that stuff. It's different than what you had been doing. So yeah, it definitely makes sense. You're not going to go play in a sports event and not practice at all and do well at it, you know? So kind of that same type of mentality. Never really thought of that, but.
And give yourself some grace too. That first day back at work, I don't think I didn't have a lesson plan. You just ease your way into it. It's okay. You'll get back into the swing of things. Just take it easy on yourself.
With that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. So overall, our journey went well, far from a maternity standpoint. Hopefully you guys took a little piece of something from it, whether you're planning on having a kid or whether you're in maternity leave. Maybe we gave you some ideas if you've already done all that. Hopefully you just enjoyed listening to it. The human body is something special, you know, as we've been talking about during these pregnancy things and for other things at the same time. Another thing that we are going to continue talking in next episode, we are going to talk about kind of our breastfeeding journey, which we are currently on as of today, which is good. So be sure to listen for that one to coming out. That will be our next episode. Please like, share, subscribe, give us a follow, give us a rating, give us some comments. We're on YouTube, Spotify. We're on most of the big platforms you can find us. So with that, hopefully you guys all learned something today. Thanks for listening.